What a beautiful combination of readings we have here today for Wednesday of the seventh week of Easter as we draw close to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the one who would indeed, Jesus said, confirm us in all truth. He doesn't confirm me in truth on my own or the sisters or Thomas or any of you individually, but he confirms the church in the truth. Which is a great gift. We can be assured of the promise that Jesus made. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can be assured of the claims that the church makes when it seeks to define matters of faith and morals. Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Right now, I think we are in a time where truth is under assault in a way probably exacerbated by media, social media and TV. It's always been a question. Rhetoric, polemics, ideology, all of these things have been in the mix forever. But I think there is a heightened sense now in the time of social media and cable TV. And I think the circumstances of our shutdown have exacerbated that. And I've talked before about the evil one's strategy to divide within the church and to divide groups within the body politic. And there's no shortage of things to be divided about. I don't know if you've seen the most recent, and you might say, Father, why do you even pay attention to it? Well, I pay attention to it because I know that many in the flock, my flock, this flock, and those who join us by live stream are paying attention to it. So I have to wade into the turgid waters of our body politic and our cultural debates because the truth needs to be engaged. The heart of Paul for his flocks really, he wrote to the Ephesians, the Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Thessalonians, he had a heart for the people. He said to presbyters, priests at the church of Ephesus, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. I know, he writes, or said rather, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. And so we saw earlier in Acts 15, where the apostolic successors needed to make a decision about whether Jews needed to be circumcised first and then become Christians. And they said, no, that's not required. So the church, when there's questions that need to be grappled with, comes together often within councils, apostolic the Jerusalem Council being the first of them to address a question that needed to be handled. There have always been people within the church who have promoted things that after the fact were declared heresies or have been unfaithful. But the guide has got to be the church's teaching, the scriptures and tradition coming together to help us know what it is that we are to believe. I don't know if you saw the events that occurred in Central Park, where an African American man saw a woman who had her dog off leash in a place that you're required to have a leash. And what ensued was him fearing that she was, as an African American man, that she was going to make it seem that he was the aggressor. So he recorded it. And it was remarkable what she said. And I don't need to go into the details, but she was basically making up a story that would make it look like he was the aggressor when in fact she was the one who had been disobeying the rules. Now, what happened after that went on Twitter? Well, we know that he was innocent and she was guilty, but now she's lost her job. They took her dog away. What's happening? Where is the sense of empathy? The sense that I too can overreact, but let me repent and begin again. In fact, the man who posted the video regretted and didn't want her to be marked by this one act for the rest of his life. This is what's happened in the age of Twitter and of Facebook. The mob acts. Well, the mob acted and crucified Jesus. So let's never pounce, however motivated we feel by truth, because the truth never pounces. It never pounces. So if you pile on and send this Twitter or this Facebook, yeah, got them. No, that's sinful. It's fleshly. It's worldly. Almost always. No, always. It is. Because it's inconsistent with what we know about Jesus and the way he wants us to live. And what does he say in the gospel? Consecrate them in your truth. Your word is truth. That's, brothers and sisters. And if that weren't enough, in Minneapolis, I think it was Minneapolis, made a man, St. Paul, an African-American man was arrested. He was handcuffed. A police officer put his knee on his throat, and the video captured the fact that he could not breathe. He said, "Let me breathe." And he died. Now there are protests. Now why am I bringing that up? Because there's going to be two different camps. There's going to be a camp that says we need to defend our police officers. Wait a minute. How is that incompatible with saying all men and women deserve to be treated justly? It's either or. This is the temptation of this time. And it's always more complicated. It doesn't mean we can't speak about the truth. But if we pile on and see that any criticism of these police officers is somehow criticizing all police officers, as if we want police officers to be, and this is what's happening, guilty until proven innocent. You see how upside down our system has become for the momentary notoriety of a viral tweet. Brothers and sisters, we need to be rooted in the truth and always care most of all about what is good and true and beautiful. And I will say it to the highest leader in our land down to the lowest, lowliest infant. Just stop it. Stop the provocations. Let's deal with others charitably, always, presuming the best, and be committed to truth and right and justice. Our African American brothers and sisters, sadly, have reason to fear, even today, that they could be killed when in the hands of police officers. Something has got to change. Let us, brothers and sisters, not pile on, but be the antidote to the divisive times. Let us be the sign of contradiction in a world that politicizes and divides into good and evil. Let us be ones who see with the eyes of God and hear with the ears of God, and who hold always only to the truth out of love. Our future, brothers and sisters, is going to be marked by increasing division. May we be the answer to it rather than part of it. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to pretend that there is not evil. We can name it. But what we don't do is scapegoat as if they were beyond repentance, beyond grace. No, we need to extend grace to them. Always, always grace. Not, you are beyond the reach. No. His reach is as wide as the 7 billion people on earth. Most especially the 2 billion Christians. May we embrace others as like us, sinners in need of his mercy. And let us see the least of these as Jesus and minister to them day by day by day. Let us live as Jesus would have us live, as St. Paul did, so that others might come to know God's love for them. Amen. Please be seated for a few moments. Some of you might have been surprised that I didn't reference the case of the African-American man who was jogging in Georgia. It does seem important to mention that. We know about it because of a video that a third party, it was a father and a son who were, he had been, I think, working with for a DA and then was a former police officer. And they thought that he was a criminal and they were going to do a citizen's arrest. He just kept running. He didn't stop. Well, why would you? I wouldn't stop. And then they tussled and then he was shot. He was shot once. He kept running. They shot him again. Why am I sharing that? We only know about it because the third individual shared the video because he thought it was exculpatory, that it would help their case that they didn't kill him. Why were charges not brought? Partiality. The father had been a police officer. And if we find ourselves excusing anything because he or she is part of my group, we need to repent. I say it at the body politic. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Have to disagree with them because, well, what is true? What is right and what is good and what is beautiful? Right now, brothers and sisters, we need to be the answer, not part of the problem in our body politic and in our culture. More and more demonization. No, let's stop demonizing. Let's stop scapegoating. And if you or anyone that you follow on Twitter is pouncing or provoking, if he or she is on our side, yeah, get him. That's fleshly and wrong. And seriously sinful. Oh, the culpability might be a little less because of the passions. But brothers and sisters, we cannot be guided by passions of that sort. There gotta be a passion for the truth that is informed by love. Not in hostility to each other. So this requires a deep soul searching for everyone, including myself. I'm not saying you're scapegoating us, Father. No. If you find yourself getting worked up by something that someone tweets and you want to win the day, realize that the only way to win the day is to become the servant of all. To hell with winning in this life if it means compromising the truth we find in Christ. You might be offended by that. Okay. But I want to be like Paul, who lays it out there, who puts it out there, and your blood is not on my head. That's what he said yesterday. I couldn't get into this yesterday because it was the First Communion. If you don't want to hear an edgy homily, and I don't preach to be edgy, but brothers and sisters, if I'm not preaching to convict everyone, including myself, I am not preaching the gospel that we find in Christ. Pray for me. Oh, pray for all leaders, whether civil, and pray for the body politic, that we will not be seduced into simple divides between black and white, people of color and majority, Democrats and Republicans, pro-life and pro-choice, pro-death, you might say. It's always more complicated. That doesn't mean there is no right and wrong, but we want things to be tidier than they are. Let's be prayerful more than we are speaking words of condemnation. All right? And I say this as one who is really grappling in my heart about how to help you, my parish, grapple with injustice, lies, scapegoating, fear, and anxiety. The answer for all is in the love of Jesus. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit... we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise.